Hey, today we have Lisa Schmidt from HEA.com, and she's going to talk about her experience in the energy industry in the past 10 years and what she and her husband has been working on, something called Home Intel, which is part of something called Pay for Performance. How are you doing, Lisa?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Travis.
All right, Lisa. We like to start our interviews here at AskDrPower.com with this question. So what do you remember wanting to be growing up? The first thing you wanted to be?
I remember being in grade school and wanting to be two things. One, I wanted to be a writer, to write fiction. And second, I wanted to be a microbiologist. And I think the only reason I wanted to be a microbiologist is I had learned what a microbiologist did, and it sounded like a really cool word. I don't think I ever made it very far as a microbiologist.
Oh, why so?
Because I didn't really understand what they did. So I looked at things in a microscope for a little while and decided that probably I wasn't going to make that a career. But it just sounded so cool.
Oh, it does sound good. It does sound good. Well, Lisa, what do you do now and how did you get into it?
Sure. Well, I'm president of Home Energy Analytics. I got into it mainly because my husband, Steve, got into it. And he got into it because the question he was trying to answer is, why does our home use so much energy and what can we do about it? And being a good engineer, he analyzed it and metered our house and measured everything and determined how appliances were using energy. In our case, it turned out to be our pool pump. But he realized that we didn't know by just looking at an energy bill from PG&E, what was causing that. And he thought this might be the case for many of our friends in the area too, and it was. So he ended up measuring a few homes with some other people around here and built a spreadsheet looking at how the energy use was playing out. About that time, PG&E was installing their smart meters, which record energy use every hour. And he thought that you could use that data to help people figure out where their energy waste was. So he did that for a year without me helping. And then I came in, and because the business got to be big enough, it could support the two of us, and because we both really care about it, the mission of reducing energy consumption. So at this point now, he manages all the engineering and technical side, and I manage the regulatory and program management and business side. So it's turned out to be a really good split between the two of us, and we're still really passionate about its mission.
So what makes you passionate about the mission of energy use reduction?
Well, I'm very concerned about the future of the world and the impact of climate change, and different people can contribute to that problem different ways. Some people are great political advocates for it. Some people do other things. They may have invent an electric car. What Steve and I know well is how to take data and analyze it and present it to people in a way that they can make changes. I also feel that I'm pretty good at figuring out how to make things work together. So this is how we could apply our talents to make a difference, is by coming up with something and then making it work inside of a system that is a business system that maybe isn't the most transparent, to really get it out to a lot of people and make a difference.
Oh, okay. Well, we can go back to that a little bit when we talk about Home Intel. I think that's what it's called now. But before we get there about how this data works and how it's presented to people, can you talk a little bit about how Home Intel got started with something called Pay for Performance?
Yes. So when we first came up with our software, and we call it Smart Audit, it's a web application. We thought that the utilities in California would be excited because it was a new way to help people save energy. And in California, and now in many states in the U.S., the utilities are encouraged to reduce energy consumption. Even though they make money by selling energy to their customers, the state's public utility commissions have set it up so that they're also rewarded for reducing energy consumption. So we thought, boy, the PG&E will be excited because now they can spend less money to reduce energy consumption. And they weren't interested at all. And this is because you have to have a way to prove to the state or the Utilities Commission that you have saved energy. And PG&E and the other utilities in the state did this by proving that they did a list of measures. So they installed this many CFLs, complex fluorescent light bulbs, or they got this many homes to put in new windows. And they would count up all the people who had done this, that they had incentivized to make these changes, and they would apply a factor of how much energy they would save half a kilowatt hour per each light bulb, and add them all together, and that's how much energy they saved. So it was just a big guess. They didn't really know how much energy was being saved. It was all based on assumptions that had been made in a laboratory, and they didn't really necessarily apply to the real world. So we had to work pretty hard, along with some other companies, to make it acceptable that the utilities be able to measure their energy savings by actually looking at the results from measuring energy use at the meter. So PG&E and other utilities are recognizing that this is a really good way to help their customers save energy and help companies like ours get the maximum energy savings for the least cost. So it took a legislative change and a regulation change, and now the California utilities can perform these or support these energy saving programs, such as Home Intel, that look for the specific ways to save energy in individual homes. They don't rely on a list of things that they have to do, like change light bulbs or put in new windows. They can say, oh, this home has this problem. We'll save energy by turning off the hot water recirculation pump. We'll measure how much energy that saves, and then we'll pay a company such as ours for that work based on the energy savings.
Oh, I see. So let me get this straight. So before pay for performance, the utility companies would be like, let's say this was food, and it's like saying, oh, maybe a bunch of people bought a bunch of new light bulbs that are supposed to be better, but they got credit for savings, like, even though they didn't install the light bulbs. So that was kind of problematic. It's kind of like in dieting, if you just bought really healthy food and never ate it and still kept on eating pizza, you didn't really save calories.
Yeah, absolutely. Or if you installed those, if you got five light bulbs and you installed them all in closets and never turned them on instead of putting them in your kitchen. There's all sorts of variables there. Or if you gave them to your friends. I mean, yes, you're absolutely right.
Got it.
It's not very good to sell things or to count things that way without any proof of they were actually used.
I see. So now under pay for performance, people are, they actually have a meter at their home, a smart meter, to measure actual savings.
Yes.
Okay, great. So under this, so you said all the California utility companies are doing this?
They're mandated to do it. Yes, they're now all starting to do it this way.
Great. And so Home Intel is one of these programs?
Yes.
Can you tell us a bit about Home Intel?
Yeah, be happy to. So I mentioned before that we had developed a web application called Smart Audit, and it's being used now in Home Intel, our pay-for-performance program. So it's the description of the entire process for the customer. Smart Audit had been used in other programs before, but now we've combined Smart Audit with a personal energy coach that can help a customer, once they sign in, go through Smart Audit, see what their home's energy profile looks like, understand it. Their energy coach reaches out to them and says, can I provide you some extra support so that we can see if we can reduce your energy use, or do you want help taking the first steps? So people can decide at what level they want to engage. Some participants in our Home Intel program never use an energy coach. They go through use a smart online system, get enough information, start tracking their energy use, and they're satisfied. Some people would prefer the energy coach come to their home and look at it and help them on site. We can support that too for certain circumstances. So Home Intel combines smart audit with an energy coach, and the customer's interaction with the energy coach is driven by what the customer wants to do and what the possibilities are.
So how much do people have to pay for this service for them to come to their home and or use this online software?
They don't have to pay anything. And that's because we're paid, HEA is paid by PG&E to deliver energy savings. So we have lots of incentive to help a customer save energy, because the more energy we can help them save, the more we're paid by PG&E. And we have a lot of incentive to help the customer save energy at the lowest impact to the customer. We wanted to make it very easy. We don't want it to eat into their life or their budget by doing things that would be uncomfortable or difficult, because then they might not want to do the savings and we wouldn't get paid. So we want to make it as easy as for our customers as possible, because then it's easier for us. So it really is lining up the incentives the same for both us and the customer. We both want to get savings as inexpensively and easy as possible.
Oh, okay. So can you share some of the, you know, how are some of the ways that people are savings without this discomfort or pain you're talking about?
Yeah. So a lot of people think that to make a difference in their home, they have to go through a remodel, or they have to set the thermostat at an uncomfortable level. And it turns out most of the energy waste, especially here in the California coastal area, is due to all sorts of other things. It's not due to the performance of your home. It's due to things inside your home that are going on and off, or maybe have been left on for a really long time. So as some examples of strange things that we found that people weren't aware of that really helped save energy we've run into situations where the timer on the pool pump at the house had broken, and the pool pump was on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Pool pumps use a whole lot of energy, and no one recommends that they run 24 hours a day. People didn't recognize that this was happening. They didn't recognize how much energy they was using. Fix the pool pump timer and you save a big chunk of energy. People just weren't aware. But we could tell by looking at our analysis that something big is going on all the time, so we helped them find it. Some other good examples, a family had used in their basement or crawl space a dehumidifier in the winter, or a fan in the winter, to help keep the air moving and keep it from getting stagnant. And then every year it was set to go off after the rainy season and stay off until next year. Well, it had been left on, or the timer was broken, so it stayed on all the time. They didn't realize that, but when we looked at their energy usage chart, we could see something like that was happening and help them find it. Again, no impact to their lifestyle, saved a big chunk of energy. And it was very easy to do. A lot of the problems we find are things that have been left on that people don't realize. And they're big things that use a lot of energy, like radiant floors that people think are turned off and are not. Hot water recirculation pumps that are pushing hot water around the house all the time that use a whole lot of energy and don't need to be there. So these are examples of things that really don't affect somebody's life. They don't require money to fix, but it's just more of a matter of people recognizing how much energy these sorts of appliances or conditions can waste.
So does that happen pretty often? Is that where most of the savings are coming from for people?
Yeah, especially in very high energy use homes. It's generally not your refrigerator or the dishwasher. It's all the other things. If you went around your home and counted all the devices that were plugged in, you would be amazed at how many there are. And you would be amazed at how many are using energy even when you think they're off. And if you start digging into that a little bit, you can find ways to save energy that, like I said, don't impact your lifestyle, don't cost money to save, and are pretty straightforward once you recognize where the opportunities are.
Oh, wow. So if someone signs up for Home Intel, how do you begin to look for these things?
Well, the first thing we do is we ask them to use Smart Audit. And what happens then is we download all their utility data, and Home Intel case, that's usually PG&E. And we do some analysis in the background on that data and break it into categories, energy use categories, and display that to the customer. We teach them about how that those energy use categories interact and what they represent. So you can view Smart Audit as more of an educational tool than answering a lot of questions or entering a lot of data. We really don't ask for much right up front, just a handful of questions, 3-6 questions, something like that. And then the customer will spend time learning about energy use in their home, looking at what categories their energy use falls into, how it changes over time. And once they make it through that step, we start giving them some hints about how to save energy in specific categories. But also at that point, the customer can say, okay, I'd really like some help from a coach. And they can reach out to their coach and they can start discussing how would be the best way to proceed from that point.
Oh, so is it hard to download this data? Because you talk about, you start by downloading data from PG&E or whatever utility company a California resident is with.
No, from the customer's point of view, it's very easy. It's a matter of clicking a button and saying, yes, I give HEA through their Home Intel program access to my energy data. So the customer, fortunately, doesn't have to play with the data. All they do is say, yes, you have access to it. You, HEA, have access to it. We do all that download and computation for them, and then they just get the results.
Oh, okay. So how well has it been working?
Well, we've been able to deliver really good energy savings. We're very, very pleased with that. So one way to measure the effectiveness of programs is in California, a requirement for each program is that an evaluation company go back and look and see how much energy savings can be attributed to that program. And that's a good step because you want to make sure the money's being well spent by the state. But if a program gets a 2-5% energy savings, that's considered a pretty good deal. We're seeing, according to PG&E calculations, 10% energy savings for electricity and 12% for natural gas. This is really spectacularly better than any other program that's out there, especially when you take into account how much it actually costs for the customer. So our results have been really impressive. The good thing too is they're pretty much exactly what we told PG&E they would be seeing at this point.
Wow. So the PG&E should be quite happy. We were just talking to James, who worked at PG&E in the customer energy solutions department. Seemed like he was so excited about it that he left PG&E and joined Home Intel.
Well, I think he was going to leave PG&E anyway, but I'm really, really glad he joined us in our efforts in Home Intel, because he knows so much about the ins and outs of the different programs that PG&E had.
Yeah, because I think some people think about, oh, I have to install this. I have to get a bunch of guys come over to install a bunch of solar panels or change out all these windows in my home or something like that.
Exactly. And if you want to go to those lengths, it is not a bad thing, but it's just not a cost effective way to reduce energy consumption.
Gotcha. So do most of the users of Home Intel, how much would you say they would have to spend to start saving this 10%, 12% per month that you were talking about?
Oh, I think frequently they don't spend anything. Some things that we might suggest people invest in are smart strips, which are $20 to $25 a piece from Amazon. Those can help if you have an entertainment system that has several components like surround sound and game consoles. You would like to be able to turn all those off completely when you're not using the system, so a smart strip can help in that. Or maybe you have a computer system at home that has printers and a fax machine. I guess nobody really uses fax machine, but other a surround sound system. Then again, a smart strip can really help with that. So that's the $20 sort of investment. You may have other devices you want to put on a timer. Again, a $15 or $20 investment. So nobody really, most of the time we don't have people invest in very expensive items. We will occasionally run into homes that have a lot of energy intensive lighting. So in those cases, we may suggest people invest in LEDs. But again, we're talking much less money than people imagine to perform a retrofit on their home. It's just not even in the same ballpark.
Yeah, I mean, that's like you're talking about four, five, six figures, probably in the five-figure range, yeah.
Yes, and you won't get, I mean, there might be reasons to do that sort of thing that have to do with comfort or have to do with the quality of your life in your house, but as a cost-effective energy-saving method, they aren't a good choice.
Yeah, well, you were talking about retrofitting homes before and how, you know, that requires a lot of cost up front and it's not easy for everybody to do. But there's been a lot of talk about smart homes and net zero homes in the past 5 years. What are your thoughts on the future of those things in helping climate change or making the homes more affordable?
Well, I certainly think going forward, there's a lot of good work going on for new construction. And we ought to make that as energy efficient as possible. Net zero, that's the California standard, and that's great. The trouble is there's a huge housing stock that's in existence that won't be affected by that for quite a while. And as a state, what we should be doing is directing our energy efficiency dollars or energy saving dollars to achieve the greatest savings for the least cost. And this is why pay for performance is lined up to do that so well. You want to find the most energy savings you can for the fewest dollars, and you want to spread it out as far as possible. So in the state of California, there's about $1 billion set aside through the state to address energy changes across the whole state, both in residential, commercial, industrial, and agricultural. And there's about $300 million in residential energy savings. We want to be able to achieve the greatest number of kilowatt hours and therms for that $300 million. And most of that's going to have to go to existing housing stock. So we want to spread that as far as we can. And smart homes are great. Net zero are great going forward, but there's a lot of work we can do on simple fixes like we were discussing before for that $300 million that can get us a whole lot of energy reduction.
Yeah, especially when it's something running all the time that no one knows about and no one cares about. And it's just, you know, leaking money everywhere.
Exactly. And the state has done a great job putting energy efficiency standards on large appliances. The best and first example is refrigeration. So back in the 1970s, a gentleman by the name of Art Rosenthal figured out that if we didn't make our refrigeration more efficient, it would end up consuming, you know, the entire home's budget for electricity. So the state put in standards saying you have to have energy efficiency in a refrigerator to be at this level, and it has to keep getting better and better over time. And the industry complained a lot and said, oh my gosh, refrigerators will be way too expensive. No one can afford them. We can't possibly do that. And the state fortunately said, no, you're going to do that. Well, now refrigerators are incredibly efficient now and less expensive. Given the right incentives, the industry was able to innovate and get to that point. And so that's happening now with heating and cooling systems. It happens with game consoles now. So these big items that the state can look at and say, we're going to drive the efficiency to these big markets, it can be done. The problem is the great population of appliances and electrical devices, it's just growing all the time. You now have heated baby wipe dispensers, recirculating pet bowl dishes. Patty, who you mentioned before, found a system in a house that takes in air and cools it down to kill microbes and then warms it back up and sends it out into the home. That's using a whole lot of energy. There's no way to put generic energy standards on all these devices. So we have to keep finding those sorts of devices, figuring out how to get people to use them less or more efficiently, because this whole pile of stuff, electrical stuff, just keeps exploding. So the state can do certain amounts of things, certain things to encourage efficiency in appliances, meaning the appliance does as much work as it did before using less energy. But we still keep adding more and more appliances, and there's no way to put a standard against all these appliances. So the state's done a good job, but it's just a bigger problem than can be handled by a whole group of regulations.
Wow. It sounds like a little bit of pushing a rock uphill. So what keeps you going, Lisa? I mean, it's, you know, climate change is it's probably one of the biggest problems of humanity that we're tackling right now. And then energy savings, you know, getting people educated on things like that can't be easy. So what keeps you going?
So two things personally, if you go beyond climate change, that's pretty much the driving factor. But most of the people you meet in this arena, both government regulators, people working for the utilities, people working for other energy saving companies, they really want to do this because they think it's a good thing. They believe in reducing energy consumption to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. They really want this to work. So while you may not agree with all of their methods or conclusions, everyone wants the same thing. So that makes it a very collaborative group, and that's pretty inspiring. The second thing is our customers, we can make some really happy customers, and that's fun to see. Our coaches find just these incredible things, and when they fix it for a customer, that really makes them happy. Probably one other thing that drives me is I think there's a chance to, as we spread this kind of energy reduction or energy savings techniques further into the community, is this provides a method for employment for people who may not have had chances for employment, may not want to go to college, can't go to college, but haven't become a BPI certified HVAC technician. So it's a way to provide jobs for high school level youth that want to be able to learn and move into this field but don't have to have the same high level of certification. So we hope we can reach out to lower income communities, disadvantaged communities, and help employ people in this work. We're doing that right now with a group called Rising Sun, and they have a two-pronged mission, and one is to reduce energy consumption in hard-to-reach and low-income communities to help them save energy and money. And the other is to provide employment for youth out of those communities to help them learn about working in a service group, working in a technical capacity. So it feels really good to support those organizations as well.
Wow. Okay. That's great to hear, Lisa. Well, thank you for your time. I really appreciate your taking your busy schedule, taking out 30 minutes to talk to us. Before we go, you know, having studied this and worked on this pretty hard problem for California, energy savings in particular, and doing it without making people make sacrifices or big upfront costs, can't be too easy to figure this stuff out and letting people know about it. Like, if you have, you know, last 1 minute to share something, or someone can do something immediately, what's that 1 minute thing that they can remember?
Go around your house and count. Well, this is longer than a minute, but once you do it, you'll be able to remember it. And count, or guess how many things you have plugged in your home. Then go around and count them and compare them. And that'll give you a pretty good feeling of what the problem is. If you had just a 1 minute thing, is put a smart strip on your entertainment system so that you turn everything off. But if you really want to expand your horizon, count all the things that are plugged in your house.
Oh, okay. Oh, I meant that you can explain in 1 minute.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What you said probably would take 15 minutes. Can't be that long.
You'd be surprised, but I challenge anybody to do it in 15 minutes. That'll get you going.
Okay, folks. So briefly said, it's go around your home and count how many devices are plugged in, and that would be a good start, right?
Yes. Excellent.
And then Home Intel will provide the links to it. And it's homeintel.hea.com is the link to the energy saving service that HEA provides. Okay. Well, thank you, Lisa, for your time.
Thank you, Travis.